may be seated. Well, last Sunday's sermon was based on the second half of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul taught that we should repent of sinful self-centeredness and instead show love and concern for others, especially by caring about their spiritual well-being. For example, there were some newly converted Christians in Corinth who were being tempted to worship the same false gods that they used to serve as unbelievers. And Paul stresses that the more mature Christians should be concerned about this and then love their fellow Christians enough to warn them about this sin so that they would repent of their idolatry, trust in Christ for forgiveness, and then worship the only true God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. With that understood, please listen to what Paul said at the end of last Sunday's reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He ended last Sunday's reading with these words, "I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Now, what is Paul saying here? Well, simply put, Paul is not saying that he literally beat his body and abused himself. Paul is not promoting self-mutilation. Besides, that doesn't do anything for you spiritually anyway. Instead, Paul is talking about self-discipline and being intentional about living in daily repentance and faith in Christ, resisting the desires of our sinful nature and then trusting in Christ for mercy and also relying on Him for the strength to live according to God's will. For example, in last Sunday's reading, Paul had used the analogy of how an athlete will submit himself to a daily routine of rigorous exercise so that he can perform his best during the competition. Well, in the same way, we Christians need to submit ourselves to a routine of daily repentance and faith in Christ so that we have the strength to daily resist temptation and live for Christ. But what might happen if we do not do this? What might happen if we start getting comfortable with our sin and see no need to repent of it? What might happen if we start ignoring God's word and living as we please? Well, Paul says that he would fear then that he might be disqualified for the prize. In other words, if we Christians refuse to repent of our sin, if we begin to ignore God's word and live as we please without any feelings of guilt or remorse, well, we may reach a point where our faith in Christ dies and our hearts become so hard that we can no longer repent. At that point, we would push away the Holy Spirit and lose the salvation God has given us. You see, there were some Christians in Corinth who were very close to losing their salvation. There were some who thought that they could worship the true God, but also worship false gods all at the same time and still be in God's kingdom. There were some who thought that they could affirm and engage in various forms of sexual immorality and still be in God's kingdom. There were some who thought they could affirm and engage in other sins like theft and greed and drunkenness and gossip and hatred and still be in God's kingdom. But they were deceiving themselves. They were in danger of hell. In the same way, the devil tempts us Christians today to think that we can ignore parts of God's word and live as we please without losing our salvation. The devil wants us to think that Jesus is just one way of salvation and that other false gods and other religions are just as valid. The devil wants us to think that we can affirm and engage in such sins as sexual immorality and greed and drunkenness and gossip and hatred without losing our salvation. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I realize that we're all sinners. We confess that at the beginning of the service. We all struggle with the desires of our sinful nature every day. I know I do. We also struggle with temptations from the world and from the devil every day. And sadly, sometimes we fall into sin during moments of weakness. It's happened to all of us. However, it's one thing to agree with God that your sin is evil, and then to trust in Jesus for forgiveness, and then to ask God to help you to begin to turn from your sin. That's one thing. But it's another thing entirely to ignore God's word, to affirm your sin, and then to treat God's grace as a license to live as you please. This latter example is what it means to be a rebellious unbeliever, even though you might think you're a Christian. So in today's reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul goes on to use some people who were part of Old Testament Israel as an example of what happens when we begin to embrace sin and refuse to repent. Paul reminds us of how God rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. You all remember learning about that. Paul says that God's presence in the cloud and also at the crossing of the Red Sea, it was like a baptism. It was like a baptism for his Old Testament people, whereby he used Moses to save them and claim them as God's people. Paul says that God showed his love for them by giving them water and food in the desert. In fact, Paul says that Christ himself was there with them, providing for them. But then, Paul writes these shocking words. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. What is Paul teaching us here? Simply put, even though God saved them, some of them ended up losing their salvation. It's possible for people to lose their salvation and become objects of God's wrath. And how does that happen? It happens when we reach the point where we no longer grieve over our sin, but we celebrate it instead. It happens when we reach the point where we grumble against God's word and refuse to repent. It happens when we reach the point where we treat God's grace as a license to sin and live as we please. When we reach that point, God will eventually have to treat us as rebellious unbelievers. And so Paul goes on to write these words. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. You see, the devil wants us to think that we can believe what we want, and we can live as we please, and we will still be saved on the final day. But that's a lie, my friends. God will not be mocked. We can't pretend to be God's children while we refuse to repent of thinking and living as his rebellious enemies. So that leads to a question. How can we be saved from this horrible fate? Paul writes, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Did you hear that? God doesn't want anybody to end up in hell. God will do everything he can to move us to repent of our sin and trust in his Son for salvation. Therefore, if we do end up in hell, please note this. If we do end up in hell, it is not because God has forsaken us. If we end up in hell, it is because we have forsaken God by refusing to repent and receive salvation in Jesus. But here's the good news. God will always forgive the repentant sinner. When the Holy Spirit works through God's Word to expose your sin and convict you of guilt, Then you can know that you can come to God with your guilt and fear and shame. You can know that you have forgiveness and a new beginning in Jesus. In fact, Paul says that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. That means if you fall away from God, it wasn't His fault, it's your fault by running away from Him. He will always be there for you. So when God says that He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, what does that mean? It means two things, essentially. First, as you daily focus on God's Word and His love for you in Christ, He will give you the desire and the strength to resist temptation. That's why being in the Word on a regular basis, focusing on Jesus every day, is so important. That's how God gives you the strength and the desire to resist temptation. But secondly, it also means this. If you do give in to temptation in a moment of weakness, and it's happened to all of us, you can still come back to God in repentance, and He will forgive you. He will restore you. He will give you a new beginning. God will always forgive the repentant sinner. You see, the reason those people in the Old Testament lost their salvation, it wasn't because God was not willing to forgive them. The reason they lost their salvation is that they had reached a point where they were celebrating their sin and they saw no need to repent. If they had been convicted of their sin and ran to God and begged Him for mercy, He would have forgiven them, but they didn't. Instead, they continued to celebrate their sin. They saw no need to repent, and as a result, they were pushing away God's forgiveness, and all that remained for them at that point was wrath. They condemned themselves to hell. But God doesn't want any person to suffer that fate. That's why He was willing to send His own Son to the cross for you and for all people. That's why God uses His Word to warn us, so that we will agree with Him that our sin is evil, so that we will come to Him every day with our guilt and shame, so that we can receive complete forgiveness in Christ and then rely on Him for the strength to resist temptation and to live according to God's loving plan for our lives. As I said earlier, Paul knew that some Christians in Corinth were very close to losing their salvation. And so what did Paul do? He lovingly warned them before it was too late. And thanks be to God, many of them did repent, many of them did receive salvation in Jesus. So my friends, when you struggle with the desires of your sinful nature, as well as the many temptations that come at you from the world and the devil, when you're weighed down with guilt and shame and fear because of the times you've given in to sin, I want you to remember God has provided a way out. And the way out is Jesus. Jesus adopted you as His own in the waters of holy baptism. He washed you clean from the guilt of all your sin. And that's what gives us comfort and strength every day when we struggle with sin and temptation. Jesus also blesses you with His Word when it's preached to you in this service, or when it's taught to you in Bible class, or when you read it on your own, or when you think about it in your mind. Jesus uses His Word to comfort you and also to give you the wisdom to live as His child. Today, Jesus feeds you with His own body and blood in this holy meal that He's given to His church. You can come to this meal in repentance and receive Christ's body and blood, which is there to assure you that you are forgiven and that Christ Himself dwells in you. My friends, we American Christians live in a modern day Corinth. There are false religions across our nation, even here in Jamestown. Sexual sin is affirmed and celebrated in our nation along with other evils that God condemns. Not only do we Christians in America struggle with the desires of our own sinful nature every day, but on top of that, we are constantly bombarded with temptations from all directions. And the devil is constantly trying to convince us to affirm those temptations and act on them. How do we win in such a battle? Well, as we face this daily spiritual battle, remember that God has provided a way out. And the way out for you is Jesus. Stand firm in Jesus. He is your Lord and Savior, and He will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Please rise.